This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon. Some significant team news today. Collingwood and Melbourne have both had sessions this morning and some interesting selection stuff coming out of that. I want to discuss that later in the podcast. Has particular implications for the Pies with Quaynor to miss this weekend with COVID. I think that'll be a big issue, COVID, across the weekend and in the next couple of weeks. That's certainly what I'm hearing from an early selection perspective. Lots to get through today. Want to discuss North Melbourne off the top. Also want to discuss some Buddy Franklin news. Obviously, Mark Robinson's story in the Herald Sun yesterday and the fallout, if you like, from that. Michael Hurley, a great story brewing from the Bombers on Sunday. And as I mentioned, some team news off the end as well. I'll start with North Melbourne. A question for mine is whether the AFL would assist the Kangaroos in landing Alistair Clarkson, for example, in the form of soft cap relief, the soft cap being the amount clubs can spend on their football departments. The firm answer I got from top AFL sources overnight is no. North's on their own in terms of having to comply with the soft cap. There's no promotional allowance or some type of allowance that would help them pay huge, huge bucks for Alistair Clarkson. The issue of a priority pick is bubbling on at North Melbourne, and in particular whether they should get one at the end of the year. The clubs, there's strong opposition in clubland, that's other clubs, to North getting one of those. It's not to say they won't, because it's a commission decision, and the commission had particular success recently with helping the Suns out with additional priority picks, which were a little bit controversial a couple of years ago, but there's strong club resistance to that. I also know that the clubs are meeting over the phone late this afternoon to discuss a range of issues, and I'll have more on that club meeting tomorrow. In terms of the coach search at North Melbourne, some significant comments from Wayne Carey here on Triple M yesterday. He thinks that Ross Lyon is the most qualified candidate after Alistair Clarkson. Luke Hodge also made some interesting comments in regards to Alistair Clarkson, and it reflected a broad industry view that Clarko can be very abrasive and needs careful management. It's even a view at the AFL, I understand, an informal one from sources I speak to there, that he needs 3, 4 or 5 people around him that manage him, that he listens to and can work cohesively with. You can't just let Alistair Clarkson sort of rule the roost. And that's exactly what Luke Hodge said yesterday, flagging a bit of a word of warning about his old coach, saying in summary, and this is the direct quote, he's not an easy person. He's not an easy person to deal with, Hodge said. Yes, he's a great coach. Yes, I love him as a coach, as a mentor, but he's not easy. And I reckon he would be the first to say that, but he gets results. And that's the point with Alistair Clarkson. It's interesting, he did win 4 flags at Hawthorn, including 3 in a row, 13, 14 and 15. But it's interesting, he did then finish 3rd, 12th, 4th, 9th, 15th and 14th. So the last 3 or 4 years or 5 years were a little bit choppy, but he does obviously get results, Clarko. But the point that Hodge was making is you need to get the right people around him, and that's a pertinent point for North Melbourne and indeed the Giants. I did a bit of a straw poll of available experienced coaches yesterday for this vacant North Melbourne role. Look, it's clear that Nathan Buckley's unavailable. He's sticking in the media for the foreseeable future. Ross Lyon told me, honestly, coaching hasn't been on his radar, and it looks like at this stage Don Pike wants to stay at Sydney. Mark Williams, Lee Matthews floated, Choco as a potential senior candidate. Look, I don't think that's realistic, quite frankly. Having said that, Lee was perfectly entitled, a legend, to raise it, but I don't think that North would be aggressively, for example, going after Mark Williams. But that's a bit of a straw poll of the availability at the moment. And as far as the Giants' job is going at the moment, it looks like James Hurd is trying to support Mark McVay. It's interesting, both clubs with available positions at the moment have a bit of an impediment in the form of their management. And I think this is a concern among some coach managers in terms of putting their candidates forward at the moment, from what I hear. The Giants have got a very successful and high-profile CEO in Dave Matthews, who likes running the football show. And I think some clubs are a little bit wary of that in terms of how that would all work. I would want to discuss that in detail, but that does concern some coach managers. And North have got clear off-field issues. I think it's an informal view, you know, at top levels in the AFL that they're in as worse shape as they've seen a club. And I think it's just a matter of time also until there's some further management changes at North Melbourne. There's a view that the management there has adopted a bit of a divide-and-conquer style. And I think they'll need to make some further management changes, North Melbourne, before they perhaps land the coach that they want.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's news.
A surprise article, Mark Robinson, the Herald Sun, on Buddy Franklin yesterday. I say surprise because it was all trending in a direction where I think it was assumed that Buddy would sign a one-year deal, perhaps with an option with Sydney to play on, for around $450,000. According to the Herald Sun yesterday, Buddy wants more than that. Buddy and his partner Jacinta would be prepared to move clubs and even interstate or retire if he couldn't secure $600,000-$800,000. Of course, there's been a lot of interest in this article. Everyone loves Buddy Franklin. He's 35. He'll be 36 next year. Andrew Pridham, the Swans chairman, gave me a direct quote overnight. He said, "I refer the Herald Sun to the last X times we've said both the club and Lance Franklin are keen for him to play on. We are confident a deal will get done." And yes, this is a bit funny, he said, "Yes, he is leaving Sydney very soon. We fly to Perth on Friday to play Fremantle." So, look, Sydney is optimistic that a deal with Buddy Franklin will get done. Tom Harley again reflected that this morning, their CEO. There is a bit of a gap at the moment, clearly, in terms of money, but Sydney seem optimistic this is all heading in the right direction in terms of a deal getting done. In terms of the reaction to this article, I don't think Buddy's overly happy with the article. There's certainly a view, as I said, at Sydney that the deal will get done. Having said that, I'm not criticising the article. You always want to sort of wonder where these things came from. It sort of reads like the Franklins want more money and aren't happy with the $500,000. I don't think that's necessarily the case. It could be. The point I made yesterday is that even if another club offered $600,000 or $700,000 post-tax compared to the money that Sydney's offering, it's not a lot. I mean, $650,000. That's 100 extra 150. That becomes $75,000 or $80,000 post tax. It would cost $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for them to uproot and move all their things out of New South Wales anyway. So you're not talking necessarily about a lot of money. Now, in practical terms, would another club offer Buddy a contract over and above Sydney's? A trade source told me this morning that he couldn't see a club offering 1 cent more than what Sydney has offered, about that $500,000 mark. That's no disrespect to Buddy. It's just a reflection of the fact that in modern list management terms, 36-year-olds don't get a lot of money. In terms of where he sits at the moment in the Coleman Medal, and that's not the single barometer of his value, he's kicked 34 goals this season. I think he sits 13th at the moment in the Coleman. And Sydney clearly need to prioritise other signings that they must make at the end of next year. They've got Mills, Warner, Stevens, McCartan, Papley and Rampy, just to name a few, all out of contract at the end of next year. So I think that's about the market value for Buddy, around $500,000-odd. I'm also a big believer in relational contract theory. I mean, at the end of the day, Buddy played 10 games for the Swans in 2019, 0 games in 2020, then 18 and 14 games. So he's come good in terms of being able to play, no doubt. But Sydney didn't get a discount when Buddy didn't play those games, didn't ask for one. And now I think to be arguing over $150,000 or so, look, it doesn't necessarily read that well, to be frank with you. But anyway, Sydney's confident that that will all be resolved. You know, I know other fans will obviously want to dream about the idea of Buddy playing at full forward for them for 1 year only. It sounds like a John Farnham concert. But, Collingwood, could they use him? Well, they could put him next to Mychek, but I don't think it's very good list management getting a 36-year-old. Melbourne, I mean, they can't really turf Ben Brown or Tom McDonald to bring in Buddy. Ben's 29, both those players younger. And Richmond, I mean, what do? You turf out Jack Riewoldt, who's a Richmond legend, to bring in Buddy for a year. Again, I just can't see that type of thing happening. I think Buddy will re-sign in the next couple of months.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A great story from Essendon, Michael Hurley. I understand he will be back on Sunday, back in the VFL. This is post the infection that he had in his hip last February that ruled him out for the whole of last year. He last played in round 18, 2020. Essendon's VFL side playing the Gold Coast at Windy Hill on Sunday. Michael Hurley, a great character of the competition, a great person, and I can't wait to see him hopefully return on Sunday for the Bombers.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's News.
And just briefly, some big team news today from Collingwood, of course, already missing Dugowie, Grundy, which we knew about. Moore trained this morning. At the moment, the plan is for him to take on Adelaide. Adams out with concussion, but a blow, a new one, Isaac Quaynor, is suffering from COVID. So COVID could impact a number of teams at selection tonight. We'll have more on that on 7 News. From Melbourne, Clayton Oliver, they'll give him an extra week with his thumb as well. And just a big one, actually, interesting from the Eagles, Jeremy McGovern won't play again this year. Caught that huge knock a couple of weeks ago and just hasn't come good. It's been a big news day. We'll have all the latest again on my podcast tomorrow. Thanks so much for joining us. Triple M rocks football.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.